Why are you interested in coming to Macomb?
Well, the main reason is this is my home. I've worked or lived in Macomb since 1979. My wife has worked at the hospital here for nearly 30 years. My children attended school here. And I think that I can be a very positive influence on the school district as a whole. And even today, I have close family and friends who have children in this district. And I would like to have the opportunity to enhance the school. It's already a good school district, but I'd like to have the opportunity to make it even better for them.
What a unique characteristic do you think you would bring to this district that no other candidate would bring?
I think my most unique characteristic is really two things. One, my ability to create positive relationships, not just across the organization, but across the entire community, and the ability to bring important stakeholders to the table. I think the other thing that separates me from other candidates, as I said earlier tonight, is I consider myself a fairly progressive superintendent, and I spend a lot of time keeping myself abreast of the latest information as it pertains to schools, and particularly curriculum and instruction.
Yeah, attending a lot of webinars, I guess, as well as conferences.
Yes, I attend probably, I'm going to guess, in the neighborhood of 20 webinars a year. I do it quite frequently. Anytime there's an issue in my district which I think I need more information about or more training on, I'll go online, I'll find a webinar, put my headset on, and interact with the webinar to help educate myself in that particular with that particular issue.
What's something you think you've implemented in your current district that has made it a better district?
I think the newest thing there is just flipping the classrooms. It's a very innovative approach to delivering content, particularly to older students. And it is now, we're having a great deal of success with it. And national educational magazines from all over the country have contacted us. And the educational world is kind of looking in on Havana right now to see how this unfolds. And, you know, the tale will be told at the end whether or not it increases student achievement, which I think it absolutely will.
How long has that been in place?
This is our first year. We're just entering our second semester. And it has exceeded my expectations at this point because teachers and students alike are engaged in a new model of education, and we're quite excited about it.
And can you just briefly explain what is meant by flipping the classroom?
Yeah, flipping the classroom in the most simplest terms is the traditional classroom. The teacher stands in front of the classroom and delivers content for 20 or 25 minutes and then gives some guided practice and then in the end sends homework home for the kids to do. In the flip model, students receive that content outside the classroom, either through a video or through reading or by the answering an engaging question for the teacher. And then when they come into the classroom, they do the homework with the content area expert teacher. And so kids learn whatever it is their objective is, they learn to do it the right way the first time because they're doing it with the teacher.
What role do you have technology playing? I mean, does every student get a tablet? Do you think that's beneficial?
Technology plays a big role. We did a survey at the end of the school year, and we determined that 70% of our students, even though we're a high-poverty school district, 70% of our students had a device and internet access at home. Now, that still left 30% we had to have a solution for. And so we worked through the state, wrote a couple of grants with some of our business partners, and we were able to purchase 90 tablets. And so those are in the classroom. And then we got another 25 laptop computers in the library that students can check out and take home. So those students who do not have internet access could actually download the videos while they're at school onto a DVD or a thumb drive, and then take that device home with them so they no longer need internet access to access the content outside the classroom.
What do you think is the biggest challenge specific to Macomb?
I think the biggest challenge right now is probably the same that's facing just about every school district in the state, with the exception of a few of our neighbors up in the suburbs, but that's state financing of the school system. Over the course of the last couple of years, the state has greatly reduced our transportation reimbursement. They're cutting back on our general state aid, and they're prorating some of those dollars that we have received in the past. So as we move forward, districts are going to have to take a good hard look at where they're spending every dollar they have in order to have the biggest impact on the students in the classroom.
Yeah, it seems the state is encouraging rural districts to consolidate, and then they're cutting back on the transportation money. And that becomes that much bigger of a challenge for you. Has that been a challenge in Havana?
It has not been a challenge in Havana in terms of we're large enough that we don't really fall into that consolidation piece. We have about 1,100 students in our school district, and people think of Havana and think it's a much smaller system than that, but we already encompass many small towns right around Havana that their children come to Havana School District. So that's not been an issue for us in terms of consolidation, but certainly many of my neighboring school districts fall in that with that concern of consolidation and transportation, specifically in the rural areas.
Do you see Macomb maybe consolidating, and so you have a countywide school district perhaps?
Well, countywide would be difficult because, as you know, industry has already gone to Rushville, and I don't see that reversing because Rushville wouldn't let loose of that very easily. But in terms of the rest of the county, you really, the only way you know if consolidation makes sense is you have to have a consolidation study done. And the consolidation study will look at the EAV of the whole area that you're proposing to combine, and then you'll have hard numbers that you can look at and say, does this make sense for us? Because some consolidations, just on the face, look like they make sense. But then when they have one of these studies done, they find out that, gee, if you put two deficit spending districts together, you get one district deficit spending at a larger rate. And so you have to do the study in order to know for sure.
You talked about the funding from the state. What's your role as a superintendent in terms of lobbying the legislature?
Oh, I think it's an important role. Superintendents cannot be afraid to get on the phone and talk to their state representative and congresspeople in terms of we're well apprised at all times of certain bills that are hitting the floor, and those bills that have a detriment to us, we have a responsibility to get on that phone and voice our concerns to our legislators, because if we don't do that, they don't necessarily know the impact it's going to have in certain areas.
I can keep going, but go ahead.
All right. I was going to say, what about when it comes to the fact that budgets just keep getting cut more and more, and especially state funding? How do you think? What would you do to, help that with improving the deficit and basically just doing more with less?
One of the major things that I believe in strongly is developing those business partnerships. Area businesses want to help their local schools be better schools. And when you develop initiatives that are going to cost dollars outside of what you have in your system, you have to go to those business partners, but you have to be able to articulate what it is you need and why you need it, and also be able to articulate to them what you think the results of those dollars will be. And that's another way I think I perhaps distance myself from some of my colleagues is I spend a great deal of time working on business partnerships, and it pays off. As I said earlier tonight, my business partners in Havana have given over $400,000 to that school system in the last 2.5 years.
Do you see that as being perhaps the new model of funding public education? You don't just rely on it all from the state, but you turn to the business community too?
I don't think that'll become a model, because you can't build positive relationships in a model that expects those businesses to give money, to give their dollars to you. Instead, I think that's an area that has to be massaged, and relationships have to be built in order for that to be a successful model. So I really do not see that as becoming a new overall model, because it just requires something different.
Why do you think you should be the next Macomb School Superintendent?
I think because, number one, I'm more familiar with this system than any other of the candidates. I've been a teacher here, I've been assistant principal here, and I've been a principal here. In addition to that, I think I'm more closely tied to the community simply because I'm a community member. And even though I'm not a superintendent here, I'm extremely involved with the community. My wife and I attend many, many events. We're members of the Performing Arts Society. We're Golden Apple participants at McDonough District Hospital. And so we work a lot with the education department at Western Illinois University. And so I just think I have a better relationship, if you will, with the community as a whole. And I think that a superintendent who can start out in that position can, at a much faster rate, achieve very good things for the district.
Do you have homes in both districts?
I do not have homes in both districts. I live here in Macomb, and I drive to Havana. One of the new models, if you will, in education is fewer districts are requiring that residency because when you look at the location of Havana, I'm only 39 miles away. It's a district that's 29 miles long as it is, and so I could move into that district but move to the far side and still be 29 miles from the school, and that board understands that. And so, I just have a home here in Macomb.
And how long were you principal at the high school, Macomb High?
Well, I was assistant principal there for 3 years and a principal for 1 year before accepting my current position as superintendent of Havana.
All right, and I think we're getting the hook here.
The hook again.
Yeah. All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.